So today I'd like to continue our exploration of the instructions the Buddha gave on mindfulness meditation in the Satipatthana Sutta, the Sutta on the Four Foundations of Mindfulness. By continuing to explore the foundation of the body, Gil began this yesterday through exploring mindfulness of breathing, which is one of the meditation practices suggested in the Satipatthana Sutta for mindfulness of the body. Awareness of the body, I think in our culture, we're so centered on what our minds are doing. We're so in our thoughts and plans, and many of our jobs even bring us into this world of our minds, ideas, computers, whatever. Whatever you do involves a great often will involve a great deal of mental activity. And in this emphasis, I think we have, many of us at least, have kind of lost touch with our bodies. And it's a very central aspect of our experience. I mean, if you sit down and look at your experience, you know, there's basically stuff going on in the mind and stuff going on in the body, you know. They're very interrelated. As Gil touched on in the discussion of breathing yesterday, how interrelated the breathing is with what our minds are doing. And it's likewise with the body as a whole. There's a very strong connection between the mind and the body. And often our emphasis on the mind, our emphasis on the thoughts that we're thinking and the plans, obscures what's happening in our bodies. I remember, you know, when I was starting meditation practice, you know, I lived in the world of my thoughts and ideas, and, you know, this seemed perfectly normal to me. I mean, it just seemed like the way you lived your life, to live in your thoughts and mind. And I had very little real connection with the kind of feeling in the body, you know, what it means to be connected with the experience of the physicality of being. I didn't really understand that until I started exploring in meditation. So, you know, for me, there was clearly this kind of, you know, life was lived from here up, you know, from my neck up. And even though I was a dancer, you know, I don't quite understand how that worked, but, you know, I controlled my body. I think it was because it was like I was controlling it from up here somehow, you know. I wasn't really thinking about, you know, the kind of the fact that we can feel, just really feel the body, live in the body. And this body is such a sensitive instrument in a way. It provides us with an incredible amount of feedback and information about what's happening for us. And we are responding to that whether we're conscious of it or not, whether we're aware of it or not. We are responding to the information that the body is giving us. And so becoming conscious of our bodies in a very intimate way, I like this term that Gil uses, intimacy. Becoming intimate with our physical experience is a wonderful exploration that mindfulness meditation opens us up to. So the foundation of the body is one of four of the foundations, we could say, that the Buddha taught in his practices on mindfulness meditation. And to just be, I'd like to just provide a little overview of the four foundations for those of you who aren't too familiar with it, just to kind of set the whole context of the sutta. The Buddha described the foundation of the body, which is this physicality primarily, the corporeal aspect of our experience. And then he described that it's helpful to attend to the feeling of experience, the feeling being not emotions precisely, but whether experience is pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral. Now, in going over these four foundations, I want to point out one aspect of each of these foundations is that essentially all of our experience, everything that happens to us, can be kind of understood in terms of how one of these or say from the point of view of one of these foundations. In fact, one teacher translates the title of the sutta rather than foundation. He calls it the four frames of reference. And I like this because it points out that what we're doing in this meditation, in these mindfulness practices, is kind of looking at our experience through particular frames of reference, particular lenses or particular perspectives. So we can look at our experience from the perspective of the body. We can look at our experience from the perspective of this feeling tone of whether things are pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral. The third foundation is the foundation of mind states. So we can also look at our experience from the perspective of what our minds are doing, whether we're wanting something or not wanting something, whether our minds are calm or agitated, whether our minds are sleepy or distracted and restless, whether our minds are settled in concentration or not. So we can look at our experience from that perspective as well. The fourth foundation is, it's a kind of a unique or interesting perspective. It's a perspective or looking at our experience from the perspective of various understandings of the Buddhist teachings. So, for instance, we can understand our experience through the perspective of the hindrances. Are the hindrances present or absent? The hindrances being five qualities or states of mind that tend to obstruct or obscure our ability to settle in concentration. The states of ill will, of desire, of restlessness, of sleepiness, and of doubt. So we can look at our experience through the through this perspective of is ill will present or absent? Is sense desire present or absent? Is sleepiness present or absent? And in this particular perspective, there's five of these type of exercises in this fourth foundation, looking at different perspectives of the Dharma teaching, the teachings that the Buddha offered, basically going through several of the key ways of understanding experience and seeing, do we understand these? Can we recognize these experiences in our moment-to-moment experience? So the perspective of this one, this fourth one, it's often called the mindfulness of Dhammas. Dhammas is the name of the Dhamma Nupassana, the name of the foundation, this fourth foundation. And the term Dhamma has actually two meanings to it. It means experience, just in a very generic sense, and it means the teachings of the Buddha. And so one way of understanding this fourth foundation is that we begin to understand our experience, the Dhamma of our experience, where Dhamma is understood to mean experience, through the perspective of the Dhamma or the Dharma. So we understand our moment-to-moment experience through the teachings of the Buddha. That's kind of one way of understanding this fourth foundation. Again, taking a kind of a frame of reference or a perspective on our experience. And any one of these teachings, you know, for instance, even just like in the hindrances, paying attention to the presence or absence of ill will, for instance. Any moment of your experience, any moment at all, pick a moment. It will either have ill will or it will not have ill will. So in a sense, I like to reflect on these teachings of looking through these different frames of reference are ways of simplifying how we look at our experience. And we can just pick a perspective. Okay, I'm gonna look at ill will for a while and notice whether ill will is present or absent. Every single moment of our experience we can relate to in that way. We don't have to leave any moments out. And so I think of the whole collection of the teachings in the Satipatthana Sutta from this perspective. So the perspective of the body, which is the one I'm going to talk about in more detail today. Every moment of experience, there's something happening in our bodies. Things happen in our mind and it impacts our bodily experience. So we don't have to think about or consider that through looking at our experience through this framework of the body that we're somehow ignoring other things. We're simply kind of looking at our experience through a lens, an angle. It's as if our experience is a multifaceted crystal and we're looking at it from one side. But it's not like we're cutting off that side of the crystal and just looking at that side of the crystal. We can't do that. So we're looking at our experience through this frame, through this perspective. I like this translation frame of reference. So through the perspective of this frame of reference of the body, understanding, beginning to get familiar with how our experience impacts the body. As Gil talked about yesterday with the breath, you know, really seeing and noticing that the breath responds. You know, you meet that mountain lion and your breath is going to respond. You lie down to go to sleep and your breath shifts and changes as your mind settles into sleep. So there are impacts between the breathing and the body. And we can impact our mind state, as Gil pointed out, by breathing in a certain way. If our mind is agitated, we can consciously control the breathing, and it tends to help settle our minds down. So very closely interconnected, mind and body. And one of the things I'd like to propose to you and to explore with you today is how beginning to really understand our bodies, really get familiar with this terrain of the lived experience of the body, begins to help us clarify and understand what the bodily processes are and what the mental processes are. That they often get confused and conflated. We experience things and, you know, we assume that they're body, but they're actually mental. One example of this is just your concepts of the body, your concept of hand, your concept of elbow and shoulder and neck. That's a concept. It's a mental idea. But often we somehow seem to think that we feel our hand. And I'll go through an example or a kind of a guided meditation on exploring this in just a few minutes. So we get the notions, things that happen in our mind and things that happen in our body kind of get mixed up. And it's actually quite helpful to begin to get clear on when something's happening in the body and when something is happening in the mind. It begins to point out to us where our reactivity, where our responses are coming from. We feel something painful in the body, and there's a response, a reaction to it. And often, before we start to really investigate this, there can be a kind of a tight coupling between those two, and we don't really see them as different, as a physical experience and a mental response to it. So this begins to point out cause and effect relationship between mind and body. So getting familiar with the body, getting familiar with this lived experience of the body, really supports our understanding of this whole mind-body system and how it functions as these interweaving processes. So there are quite a few practices offered in the Satipatthana Sutta around the body. The breath is one. And then I'm just going to briefly mention the others. There's instructions around paying attention to posture, instructions around paying attention to all of our activities throughout the day. There are instructions around paying attention to the parts of the body, you know, kind of looking at the body as composed of different aspects, like not hand or foot or leg, but more like nails, skin, hair, teeth, organs, that kind of thing. Then there is an exploration of the body in terms of elements, of different properties of matter, of earth, air, fire, and water. And then there are reflections on, basically reflections on death, on the decomposition of the body, the decomposing of the body in states after death, the charnel ground contemplations. The time of the Buddha, there were open pits often where bodies were thrown when they died, and you could go and sit and basically watch the decomposition of bodies over the course of days. And that was a practice offered at the time of the Buddha. So today I'd like to primarily explore one of those, and if I have a chance I'd like to touch on briefly a second one. So the main ones I want to try to talk about today are this exploration of the elements, the kind of properties, the properties of matter, looking at that in our experience, and the postures. So for myself, this exploration of the bodily experience in terms of the elements has been a very big part of my meditation practice. It's been very impactful, really helpful in getting familiar with this lived experience of the body. So I'm going to read you the instruction from the Buddha. A meditator reviews this same body, however it is placed, however it is disposed, as consisting of the elements thus. In this body are the earth element, the water element, the fire element, and the air element. So it's a relatively terse instruction, so I'll unpack it for you a little bit. This notion of matter being, and basically four properties of matter is what we're looking at here. The understanding, kind of the physical, the physics of India at the time of the Buddha was this understanding that all matter had these properties. The elements of earth, air, fire, and water relate to properties of matter, the property of solidity, the property of movement, of distension as air, solidity being earth. Movement and distension being air, the property of liquidity being water, and the property of temperature being heat. And so the commentaries relate our physical experience that this body feels, the touch sense of the body, the sensors both inside and outside the body, experience these kinds of properties. Now, we don't typically go around thinking, oh, I feel earth, or I feel air, or I feel water so much. But we do feel various sensations. So I'd like to explore each of these with you and encourage you as I go through each of these to explore in your own experience, almost like a guided meditation here for the next few minutes, to explore in your own experience these elemental properties. So the earth element, this includes all parts of the body that have a feeling of solidity. So sensations like heaviness, hardness, density, weight, feeling your body and feeling the kind of the weight, the heaviness, the density, the solidity of the body as you sit here. You may feel this in, you know, particularly in terms of the contact of your buttocks where it meets the cushion or chair or bench, kind of a hardness, quality of hardness. You might also have a sense, a little bit of a sense, of kind of the structure or solidity of the skeleton, the bones inside your body, that there is a kind of a something firm that's holding you upright, the stiffness, the hardness of the structure of the bones. Well, that's earth element. And sometimes it can be interesting or helpful to kind of play with this notion just as a grounding experience, the experience of earth in particular, the experience of the solidity, density, is a very grounding experience. And we use that word grounding. It is earth, ground. We can almost think of earth sitting on earth, just getting a sense of almost being like a mountain. It can stabilize the mind, stabilize us to connect with this property. Then there's the air element, which is related to, connected with movement. So this, in particular, can be experienced in the movement of the breathing, of the body as it responds to breathing. You can directly, in a way, feel the flow of the air as it moves through the nose and into the lungs and the expansion of the lungs. This is all air element. There are also other experiences that we can connect with that are considered air element. Vibratory experiences. If you touch into, even just putting your experience in your hands, if you pay attention to the feeling in your hand, you may experience a vibration, a pulsing, tingling. These are all manifestation of air element. Air relating to movement. Vibratory quality having a movement quality to it. Pulling, pushing, pressure, expansion, contraction, all of these are air element. You can even perhaps get a sense of the whole body being a field of, like we were feeling the whole body as earth, we can also get a sense of the whole body as air, the vibratory energetic field of the body. Just relaxing and connecting with, if you can sense a vibratory quality to the whole body. This can be subtle. At times it's clearer, more clear than others. You may or may not feel this. Then the fire element is the element of temperature. So sometimes the fire element is obvious to us. If we go out and stand in the sun, for instance, the warmth warms our skin. Sometimes parts of our body have a different temperature. My hands at this moment are cold. So there's the difference in temperature in my hands that's obvious compared to my arms, for example, which feel a little more neutral. You might, sometimes touching, if you touch your hand, the front of your hand with the back of your hand, there's sometimes a temperature differential there. Or touch your cheek, you might notice temperature there. Hand might be cooler or warmer than your cheek. You get a sense of that quality here sitting in the room. At times it's just immensely obvious. I mean, earlier today, the cold to me was very obvious. So just noticing this is an aspect of bodily experience, the temperature, the range of temperature. And then there's the water element. This is the element of liquidity, of fluidity. And it's obvious in certain experiences, such as tears or in saliva, the relative moisture or dryness in your mouth. If you just right now take the time to run your tongue across your teeth, in a sense, the water element is understood or known in contact with other elements. So it's kind of like the touching of earth against earth, the tongue against the teeth is touching earth against earth. And if the mouth is dry, there's going to be a kind of perhaps roughness that's felt, or it's not a smooth, slippery feeling. But when there's the liquidity, the contact of earth against earth is slippery. So you can feel the property of this water element in conjunction with other elements. So these experiences, this elemental property, this elemental nature of our experience, can be a doorway into the felt or lived sense of our body, entering into the texture of the body. It's quite an extraordinary experience when the mind kind of lets go of concept of body and lives in the body. I remember on one long retreat, it's like, wow, you know, this is what it's like to be in a body. It was just fascinating to have that sense of just being intimately connected with all the movement of the muscles, and from the inside, not as an idea, but just lived from the inside. It does need us, in a way, to have that connectedness with experience, physical experience. We need to let go of our ideas about the experience. And we so much live in our bodies, as I mentioned earlier, through the idea of our body. So just right now, putting your attention in your hand. The sensations in your hand, the physical experience of your hand, what is that? perhaps pulsing or tingling, pressure, vibration, stiffness, heat or coolness. Where in that experience is hand? Hand is not in that experience. There is no hand in the actual physical experience. Hand is an idea. It's a concept, a very useful one, I have to say. It's a very useful concept. But this is a way that it's kind of the way our brains work, in a sense, in making these shortcuts to experience. And those shortcuts, as useful as they are, they take us out of our lived experience. So exploring our elemental experience in the body. The Buddha talks about understanding there's earth element, fire element, water element, air element. In my own practice of this, I found that it's, at least in my experience, it was easiest to touch into the actual sensation I was feeling, such as vibration, pulsing, tingling, coolness, heat, stiffness, hardness, softness, pressure, burning, tightness, pulling. Connecting with that level of experience as opposed to trying to think, okay, pulling, is that air? Is that earth? That added, for me, it added a level of thinking that wasn't so helpful. But it was very helpful to connect with what felt to me like a more direct connection to the physicality of experience through these different sensations in the body. So in my own practice with this, I do use the noting, just a very light whisper in the mind of recognizing pressure, pulsing, tingling, vibration, coolness, heat. A very light touch to recognizing what is known in the physical experience. But I don't additionally then try to say, oh, it's air, it's fire, it's water. So I think it's most important to connect with this elemental nature of our experience. In a sense, I think about this as getting to know, getting familiar with the language of the body. This is how our body communicates with us, through all of these different sensations. And I certainly wasn't aware of this language before I started meditating. So getting familiar with how the body communicates with us. So I'm going to read a little further in the section of the Satipatthana Sutta. And I'm going to warn you here that the analogy, the Buddha uses an analogy here he often uses analogies, and they're usually very, they're pointing to something very visceral when he gives these analogies. And the analogy that he uses in this section is somewhat startling, gruesome even, for us. I don't know whether it was intended that way or whether it was intended to kind of have a shock value or whether it was just something, oh, this is just kind of a normal thing that happens in the daily life of people in India at that time, and so it wasn't so startling. So his analogy here is, just as though a skilled butcher or his apprentice had killed a cow and was seated at the crossroads with it cut up in pieces. So too a meditator reviews this same body as consisting of the elements. In this body there are the earth element, the water element, the fire element, and the air element. Now the commentaries explain this in a little more detail. They say that the butcher, before he kills the cow, while he's leading the cow to the stable and feeding it, he's thinking, I'm feeding the cow, I'm leading the cow to the stable. But once he kills the cow and cuts it up into parts and is seated at the crossroads, he no longer thinks of this as I'm selling cow. He thinks of it as I'm selling leg, I'm selling hindquarters, I'm selling loin. So this is what I think the point of this analogy is, that as we look at our experience through this frame of reference, looking at our experience through the frame of reference of the elements, we essentially are kind of dividing up our bodily experience. And it supports a shift of perspective. So with the butcher, there's a shift of perspective that happens once the cow has been cut up. It no longer is understood as or thought of as cow. In a similar way with our experience, as we begin to see our experience through these lenses, it begins to point out to us that this body is composed of these elements, these physical processes. And we are inclined, it supports a recognition that there isn't actually somebody here doing things or feeling things. It's just processes. So this exploration of the elements encourages us a shift of perspective on our experience. An understanding of not that this is a thing, but a set of processes. So as we explore our experience, as we explore our felt sense, this being in the body, we start to see that, again, as I said, this kind of distinction between mind and body, that there are things that happen in the body, pleasant experiences, unpleasant experiences. And with those experiences, you know, burning tends to be unpleasant. We tend to have a reaction to that. So from our physical experience, there can be a mental reaction. When things are pleasant, we like them, we want them. So this physical realm leads us to respond, to react. And it's important to recognize that the physical experience and the mental response to it are different things. There's one example I can give of this in my own experience, a place where the two were quite intertwined for me. I didn't actually know that there was a mental experience going on in this particular case. I had a time where, for about a year, I had a frozen shoulder. I could barely move my shoulder. And during that time, the shoulder was extremely painful, but it also felt like there was a kind of an inflammation or a kind of a bracing almost through the entire body that felt like a physical inflammation throughout the entire body. And, you know, in my mind, I kind of thought, well, yeah, you know, so there's probably some kind of hormone going through the body that's, you know, impacting the body there, making the whole body just a little bit inflamed. You know, there's this definite inflammation in the shoulder, and I thought there was probably some physical thing going on that was making the whole body feel inflamed. But, you know, my practice was simply to notice my experience. I was just noticing just how the body felt. And at some point, I don't know how many months into this was, but at some point, there was just this little letting go of something in the mind. Just a kind of, it clearly felt like a little release of something in the mind. A little letting go of some holding or resistance. And in a split second, that whole feeling of the body being inflamed disappeared. And I saw that that experience that I had thought was physical, it was expressed as a physical feeling, but it was very intimately tied to a mental holding. That when that mental holding released, it was instantaneous that that feeling of bracing was gone. Now, about a second later, it came back because my mind clenched down again. But it was fascinating to me. It's like, oh my gosh, that's actually a mental feedback. And I had not known that there was any. It was a very subtle mental resistance happening that I had not been aware of. So this exploration begins to reveal these some very obvious kinds of reactivity. You know, you cut yourself with a knife and there's pain and you're like, oh, how can I be so stupid? And you know, so there's the obvious reactivity that we get into. And there's also some very subtle mental reactivity that can be very confused with our bodily experience. So as we get more familiar with the body and what actually is the bodily experience, we begin to be able to tease apart what's mental and what's physical. So it begins to clarify for us what's the springboard for suffering. What's the springboard for our reactivity? You know, we see something and we, you know, we don't like it. We smell something and we don't like it. Is it the smell actually that we don't like, or is it the idea that comes up in our mind that we're reacting to? So it begins to kind of help us sort out where the actual reactivity is, this is how we get into suffering. Things we like, we want, we try to hold on to, and we hold. Things we don't like, we want to get rid of, we want to push away. These movements can become more clear, because those movements of aversion and wanting don't happen in the body. They happen in the mind. So we also start to see cause and effect as we get more familiar with bodily experience. We see how things happen in the body, and then there are results in the mind, like cutting the finger. You know, that's, you know, a physical thing that happened, and then there's all these responses. And there are things that happen in our mind that impact our body. We get angry about something. A thought flits through our mind about a person we're angry at, and suddenly there's anger present in our mind, and boy, our bodies feel it too. So recognizing this interrelationship, this cause and effect relationship between mind and body, we begin to understand these as processes. Mental processes and physical processes that interact. It really helps to have us understand Understanding this process of reactivity is, it's so powerful, because when we see how the mind is doing this reactivity, we actually begin to see that it's a choice that we have. It's not hardwired in us that we hate ourselves when we cut our finger with a knife. It's a process that we go through. And seeing the process unfold gives us the opportunity to have some choice about how we respond. And understanding the body really helps to clarify how this reactivity comes into being. So just for the last couple of minutes of this talk, I want to switch to another topic and talk a little bit about the teaching around posture, just very briefly. It's just a kind of a pointer into how the teachings on the body, they're not just about being in sitting meditation. They're not just about sitting with eyes closed and feeling the details of our experience. In the instructions on posture, again, very simple, what the Buddha says. He says, when walking, one understands I am walking. When standing, one understands I am standing. When sitting, one understands I'm sitting. When lying down, one understands I am lying down. This really simple instruction is actually pretty powerful. It begins to point to the supportiveness of connecting with our experience of our body throughout the day. We're always in one of these four postures or moving between them. And we can connect with our posture as a way to connect with mindfulness more continuously through the day. Often, the purpose of our posture obscures the posture itself. And so, for instance, you're walking to the kitchen to get lunch. Where is your mind? Is it thinking about the food, the lunch? What's going to be on that line? Or can you recognize walking is happening right now? That's what's actually going on. You know where you're going. You know you're going to the kitchen, but walking is what's happening. So often the purpose of posture, particularly around changing posture, and I'd like to propose to you that seeing if you can connect with the change of postures when you do it as a really helpful avenue for connecting with mindfulness more continuously through the day. We change postures pretty frequently. You know, from the sitting meditation, we stand up. Just go to walking. Then from the standing meditation, we start walking. So those are two changes of posture within a very short time. We walk for a while. In the walking meditation, we stop and we stand. So we go from walking to standing. We walk to the kitchen. We stop when we get to the table. We fill up our plate. We step. We stop. We step. We stop. Our plate is full. We stop to get a cup of tea. We walk again. We stop in front of the table. Then we sit. So just recognizing when there are major changes of posture can be a really powerful tool to support more of an awareness throughout the whole day, bringing more of a continuity of mindfulness. And also, just as another little pointer, a little exploration to make in this practice, there's always going to be a reason why you're changing posture. Some motivation. Posture change doesn't happen in a vacuum. The mind is motivating it for some reason or other. And since bodily posture changes are so obvious, you may have an opportunity to recognize that you know you're going to change your posture before you change it. So you're sitting at the dining table and you're eating. And then there's this whole process that goes on. Oh, this would be good with just a little bit of that spicy sauce on it. And so this plan gets formulated within split seconds of getting up to go get that spicy sauce. And then, boom, you stand. So there's a whole process of intention that comes into play before the action happens. So you might just start to see if you can begin to know that you're going to move or shift your posture before it happens. And if you can notice that, just notice why. What's the reason you're going to change posture? And not as something to think about. I don't want this to go into a thinking process. Is it greed that's getting you up to get that sauce? Is it aversion? Is it some flavor that you don't like that you want to cover up? Just see if you can understand something about that motivation. So even this postural exploration can take us pretty deep into seeing this mind-body connection, this interaction between the mind and the body. So in terms of your practice, your meditation practice in here, things don't have to change too much. You might explore a little bit, in particular around the breathing, in noticing the sensations of breathing. Are you noticing pressure and expansion, vibration, tingling, pulsing? Maybe heat or coolness even is present in the breath itself. Just beginning to notice the qualities of our experience, this elemental quality of experience. And sometimes when we're paying attention to the breathing, we can get pulled away by some strong body sensation, a pain in the knee or a strong pressure on the foot. Explore a little bit. What's the quality of that experience? Pressure, hardness, burning, aching, pulling. There's no need to push away any experience. Just bringing this interest, this curiosity to explore what's happening. What's happening in the body from this frame of reference? What's happening? This will greatly support your ability to more clearly see where there is reactivity going on. Which supports leading us to letting go of that reactivity and more peacefulness. So let's just sit for a couple of minutes. feeling in your body. Just taking in the body as a whole for a moment. What are the experiences? What's the elemental experience? Vibration, hardness, tingling, coolness, pulsing, tension, lightness, heaviness, softness, moisture, dryness. Letting go of as much as possible the notion of parts of the body or the edges of your body in favor of just entering into the field of this river of changing, flowing physical experience. Thank you for your attention.